This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
This is Michael Gonneau with Insight to Israel, brought to you by America's Web Radio. And I want to thank all the guys at America's Web Radio for bringing the truth of the Jewish state to the grassroots of the United States. Guys, I want to say thank you. I can't say it enough. Insight to Israel has been on the air for over a year. We're in the top 20% out of 26,000 radio shows heard in the United States, Europe, and even here in Israel. And what you guys have done by sacrificing, allowing Insight to Israel to be on this, on the radio twice on Sunday and once during the week, has the gratitude that the Jewish people show me, tell me, thank you for telling this truth about our country that the media and Islam doesn't. So you guys are performing a huge service for the Jewish state. And I owe you a debt of gratitude for that. And I want to say thank you. Israelis, thank you. The Jewish people, thank you for that. Also, I want to say thank you to everyone who is a participator and not a spectator in Hershey's for Heroes. The morale boost, if you don't know about Hershey's for Heroes, you should know. You ought to know what it does for these soldiers when Americans send Hershey's chocolate bars with notes on them to the soldiers. We love you, we pray for you, and we stand with you. As I travel all over this country and I hand out Hershey's for Heroes and the soldiers see the notes, the morale boost that it brings cannot be measured, cannot be described in the English vernacular. I've had soldiers ask me, Michael, what do the American people think about Israel? And I pull out a chocolate bar and I say, this is what they think. And they read it, and I'm telling you, it changes their countenance. It changes their outlook. And I've gotten hugs, more than handshakes, when they turn around and they say, Michael, thank you for what you do. Listen, I'm willing. I came here 2 years ago. I'm willing to sacrifice whatever it takes to take a stand with this country. Because what the world wants is, they want a Jewish genocide. They want another Holocaust. But we're not going to let it happen, because all of the world is God's creation, but this is God's land. But we have an obligation, morally, principally, and biblically, to stand with this country. Even before our obligation is to the United States, before our obligation is to Europe or any other country in this world, it is to the Jewish state to stand and fight with them. Because when we do that, our life in every area will be blessed by the Almighty. So thank you to everyone who is a participator and not a spectator. Folks, you can't sit on the sidelines anymore. Life will not let you. You must make a decision whose side you're on, and I choose to stand with the Jewish people. I will risk life and limb, and there's many others that will stand also. Just go to the Hershey's for Heroes page on Facebook, and you'll see it. So thank you to everyone that gives. All right. Wow.
You want a chicken?
Simon. I got a good friend of mine here. I am... I've moved, as many of you know, I've moved to the town of Givatayim here in Israel. Beautiful town. It's a beautiful night here. I'm sure you can hear the background. There's restaurants all around, and folks are enjoying their evening after a long day of work. And I have to tell you, Israelis work hard. They work very hard. But, I've got a friend here. Simon, I apologize. I forget your last name, brother.
It's Zippitz, Simon Zippitz.
Simon Zippitz.
Yeah.
Like zip it, like when you talk too much?
No, it's D-S-I, Zippitz.
Zippy.
No, D-S-I-B-I-S.
P-I-S.
Zippitz.
Zippitz, okay.
Okay, let it be Zippitz.
Exactly. Simon, listen, I appreciate that a mutual friend of ours introduced us, because you and I had a long talk, about 2 hours. We didn't even get any coffee. In a coffee shop last week.
Well, you didn't invite me, man.
Yeah, I should have called the waitress over.
Yeah.
But I got so busy flapping my jaws. But, we had a good discussion. And Simon, I appreciate your love for the Jewish state. I appreciate your stand for this country. I appreciate your service in the Israeli Defense Force. And I have to say, brother, you're a big guy. And I wouldn't mess with you. I wouldn't even try to jump on you in a dark alley. But let me ask you real quick, what did you handle when you were in the military? Did you have like an M60 or something like 50 cal? You look like one of those guys who could handle a big firearm.
Well, I did more in the police force than in the military. Let me tell you something. I served a short term in the IDF, but in 2006 I went as a volunteer to police force, and I served there like for 2 years because I feel that I have to give to this country which I love. Although I was born, my origins are Russians, I was born in Russia, I came here when I was 11. And since then, I live here and I owe this country, and I owe these great people, great brave people,
yes,
which fighting on a daily basis for the survival. And during this war that we had a month ago, the Tsukeitan operation
in the Gaza.
Yeah, in the Gaza. Half of my friends were called out to serve as a to the IDF.
They were in the reserves.
Yeah, they were the reserves. So, but they didn't call me, so I went by myself, and I.
Wow.
Yeah. I went.
Did you show up? Just show up?
Yeah, I showed up and I said, take me in. And yeah, really. I went to the Bakum. Bakum is the military, the central base, which accept all the newcomers, and also those which serve the second term, and the volunteer. So I went there and I said, okay, take me. I came with my clothes, and I was sure, I was positive that they will take me for like a few weeks. I will be out of home. But and they took my details, and they told me that they will call me out, and I waited for like a week, and the operation was already finished. But this is exactly what I'm gonna do if this operation would renew, which I hope will not. But this is what I'm doing every time we have such a situation. I'm also a leader of an anti-Nazi movement.
Wow.
which we have here in Israel, with the Russians. We have an anti-Nazi movement, and we make nice stuff, and sometimes we make demonstrations, anti-Nazi demonstrations. And
we got one this Friday.
Yeah, we've got one this Friday against the civil war which is going on in Ukraine, and we are willing to call the Poroshenko, the Ukrainian president, to stop the war and to stop the violence. And we think people are dying there, and it can be stopped. So it's not too late to stop it before it becomes World War III.
Now, you're from the Crimea.
Yeah, I'm actually from the Crimea, from Sevastopol, which has been taken. People voted to get back to Russian Federation. I have a few friends of mine left there. And let me tell you something, they are really happy. They are really happy that they are not in the middle of civil war like in Donbass people. I think this is one of the good things which did the Russian government. It's actually saved thousands of lives in the Crimea. And now we have to save the lives of the people of the Donbass, and we are fighting for it.
Well, listen, you and I have had a discussion. I personally disagree with you about Russia's move in the Crimea and in the Ukraine, but that's another discussion, and we'll definitely have that. That's going to make for interesting conversation because it affects Israel in a big way. It affects Israel in a big way. But let me ask you, when did you come home to Israel? Obviously, you felt a tie to this country that would cause you to make Aliyah and come here.
Well, my family and I moved into Israel, immigrated to Israel in 1991.
How old were you?
I was 11.
How old are you now?
I'm 36.
Okay.
So this is the year, the 1991.
Wow, that's when Russia.
This is the exactly year when the Soviet Union have collapsed.
Wow.
They had a military cup in Moscow, and this was over. And by the way, let me tell you something about this civil war which is going on in Ukraine. For 6 months, 1,000 Jews have made Aliyah to Israel.
Wow,
from Ukraine.
That's beautiful.
So it's good for the country. Well, it might be bad for some people because they lost their homes.
Right.
And they just run away from the war to stay alive.
Right.
But we have 1,000 more Israeli citizens.
Yeah.
So this is a good thing.
That is good. That's good.
Yeah.
Because that helps build your military, your infrastructure as far as... And I have
exactly.
to say, I want to tell you, man, some of the best business people...
are Russians.
Russians. You folks know how to do some business.
Let me tell you something else. The IDF soldiers, one of the best soldiers are also Russians.
Right. Actually, we had a Russian on the show last week who was in the cave.
Yeah, and
it doesn't matter. Go ahead.
There are some Russians, special forces soldiers, which were killed in this operation, and I went to two funerals of those Russians. Although I don't know them, but I felt I have to go there. And in the IDF, in the Israeli military, in Israeli army, a lot of badass soldiers are Russians.
Right.
They are defending Israel on a daily basis.
Right. Wow. Yeah, because, you know, the one thing I appreciate also about the Russians, they're all right wing.
Yeah.
It's hard to find a liberal Russian.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So what was it like for you when you first came to Israel?
Well,
especially leaving the situation that you did.
Well, it was an experience. I went to high school, and then I went to served a short term in the IDF. Then I got back, and I went to university. It was first my first emotions that it was from some point of view it was a strange country. But what held me on, it was I knew that I'm a Jewish and I'm finally back to my land.
Wow, wow, wow. That's powerful. 2,000
yeah.
years of no home.
Yeah.
No home. And 66 years, what you do with it? Brother, that's a miracle. Number one in technology, agriculture, and medicine.
It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Now, the world won't always say number one. I've read stats before, and they say Israel's number three, and this, Israel's number two. The reality is, they don't want ever want to say number one, because then that'll make the United States look bad, because we're slackers, because we let the Chinese come in and do everything, you know? And the Europeans are trying to do everything, but they're a bunch of candies, so they got no power. But
don't forget and keep in mind that Israel, all its neighbors are actually enemies.
Right.
And
even internally, Islam is your enemy from within.
Yeah, and this is not because we hate Islam. It's
right.
Because it hates us.
Right. It says in the Quran, kill
Jews. Yeah, yeah. And although we have a peace agreement with Egypt and Jordan, it was earned by us through bloody wars.
Right.
We had to fight for this peace agreement, and we had to fight for it three wars: the Six-Day War, the War of Liberation, and the Yom Kippur War. And after that, Egypt and Jordan realized that we cannot be destroyed, and it's better to live in peace with us.
Right.
And let me tell you something. This current operation, which was in Gaza, the Tzuk Eitan, I have to tell you that Egypt actually helped us a lot, because it also destroyed and executed a lot of terrorists from Gaza. And we have a really good cooperation with them, and I hope it will hold on for a long period of time.
I hope so, brother. Because, look, what I've learned about Muslims is if there's any time that they say or even slightly do side with Israel, it's because they're trying to protect their own little kingdom from their Muslim enemies that they're Muslim too. Sunni and Shia kill each other for power, but they'll take a coffee break to kill a Christian or a Jew any day.
Yeah.
That's the reality we live with. So God bless the short term, but the long term, we have to sleep with one eye open.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So let me ask you, so your family came here. Now you're a grown man, 36 years old?
Yeah.
What are you doing now? What have you done over the past few years?
Well, now I'm finishing my MA degree in Tel Aviv University on International Affairs and Political Science. And this is one of the reasons I was involved in all the politics. And I'm also a researcher in an Israeli think tank, the INSS think tank, the Institute for National Security Research.
Wow, nice.
Well, yeah, we do a lot of research on many places in the world, but especially we are specialized on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and the United States and Europe, and a lot of nice people there, and you should come on for one of our congresses there.
I'm definitely going to do that. What, next month?
Yeah,
next month.
I'm going to invite you.
I appreciate that. I'm looking forward to that because there's so many great institutions in this country. Some of the top universities and institutions come right out of Israel, the top in the world, and I think that says a lot for the desire of the Jewish people for peace. Because I hear it all the time. We just want to live in peace. That's it. Can everyone not leave us alone and let us live in peace? And when you're a major contributor, like I said, I mean, it can't be said enough that Israel's a major contributor to the success and advancement of all three areas, technology, agriculture, medicine, and the world.
Let me tell you something about Gaza, which might a lot of people don't know or don't understand. We are willing to live with Gaza in peace, and we tried to do that for 66 years with them. We give them water, we give them oil, we give them gas, we give them electricity, food,
concrete,
and all of this is for free. And when Ariel Sharon was our prime minister,
the butcher, I love him.
Yeah, a lot of people love him, and the Gaza, the Palestinians wanted us to remove our settlements from there, and he went for that, and a lot of people were angry for that.
Right.
But he did it. He was a very powerful leader. Now after we moved and we gave them away the whole land of Gaza, they started this war. Now, it proves us that it's not about the land. It's not about the food. It's not about the... It's about the Jewish Holocaust, and it's about...
Jewish presence.
Yes, it's about Jewish presence, and they just want to kill Jews, and they want to execute, and they want to demolish the Israel state. And Sharon, by his move, actually proved us, and now we can understand what he did. He did a great thing. He proved us, the whole world, and us, the Israelis, that Palestinians don't want the land. It's not about the land. We gave it away to them. It's about killing Jews, and this is the reality we have to live with.
Wow, wow. Yeah, because right now John Kerry is coming back to Israel. And he wants to start the... Now, you would think the U.S. government, not the people, there's a big separation between the two, and it should be distinguished verbally, but the U.S. government now is pushing Israel to go back to the negotiating table with Mahmoud Abbas, or in Hebrew, Abu Mazen. And along with that, I read an article where, again, to restart these peace negotiations, they want the release of more prisoners. Now, what the world media doesn't say is, many times, is that when those three boys were murdered back at the end of July before the operation started, when I was there in Hebron with the soldiers, and they pulled out over 300 of the terrorists that had been released from prison before.
Yes, this is what happens all the time. For tens of years, we've been catching those terrorists and we've been releasing them away after a few years on next peace negotiations. It's like a closed cycle. Everybody comes to us, including the United States government, and sending its secretaries to Israel and trying to further promote the peace negotiations. And the Israeli government always does what it thinks and the good thing on this period of time, and we release those prisoners all the time, and they go back to their duty of killing the Jews again and again and again. And it has to stop, because we see it has no value to catch them and to release them again, and they go and kill another Jew, and we catch them again and we release them again.
Wow.
It's a cycle that we cannot get out of it. And what is President Barack Obama and his secretary...
Barack Hussein Obama.
Yeah, you can say that.
The Muslim.
Yeah, you can say that again. Well, and what Kerry was trying to do, he tried to pull us back to the negotiations, and we did. We did all that he asked. We released the prisoners which were caught or killed on the Gaza operation again.
Yeah, wow.
Because we don't believe that they are going back home and dealing with their family or whatever.
Getting a job.
Yeah. They are going back to their terrorist duty in one single purpose, to kill Jews, to kill us. And we have to find some other way to make this peace process proceed.
Simon, let me ask you. Smart guy, I think you have some good common sense, and I respect the fact that you went to the recruiting station to try and get back in the military. And
yeah,
for whatever reason, I'm sitting here looking at you. You're a big guy. I'd call you if I needed help. You'd be the first guy I call. Do you really think, no matter how much you do, no matter how much the government does to bend over backwards, at the end of the day, do you really think the world cares? When you look at your history in 66 years, and the fact that, and I say this about the Jewish lobby, it's a joke. Because what is the Jewish lobby, what have they accomplished in 66 years? Because you keep going through the same cycle of Jews dying, you know, Muslims claiming victory, and you give and give and give and get nothing in return.
Well, let me answer you, let me tell you this. Remember the Holocaust, which was on World War II. Did the world care then? Nobody cared. There were tremendous opportunities to stop it.
Wow.
By Americans, by the British government, by Russians also, but Russians were involved all over the war. But a lot of states and a lot of governments were able to prevent this strategy, this great Jewish strategy. But nobody done anything. And so, to your question, does world care? I think no. And we have to take care of ourselves by ourselves. We cannot rely on anyone, even United States. It's been proved for the last 2 years, and for this current war, which broke out exactly when Kerry was coming almost every week to Israel, to State of Israel, and trying to renew the negotiations. And he did not succeed because Palestinians were asking too much.
Right. Yeah, and when Let me clarify. When they were asking too much, they want an airstrip. They want a working airport.
Well, I will tell you with one sentence.
Okay.
We have no problem with what they are asking. We have one major problem. If we give it all they're asking, if we give it to them, in a few years, in 5-6 years, it will become a country.
Or less.
And it will become a full country, full armed country, which we're going to have to fight again.
Right, absolutely.
And if they have an airport and a sea base, they will have fight jets, and they will have military ships and everything. It's going to be a much much bigger war than was now. So we are trying to prevent it.
Yeah.
And actually, what we are telling them is, we give you everything you need, just signed. And a document that you won't attack us, never. And they are not willing to sign. they are not even willing to approve that the state of Israel is a Jewish state.
Right.
And this has became the major problem for us.
And they won't approve it because then they won't be able to sing the song from the river to the sea, the river being the Jordan River,
exactly,
to the sea to the Mediterranean.
Exactly.
Palestine shall be free, which basically means they want to liberate the whole country to own it.
Exactly.
So, Simon, let me ask you, where do you see yourself? You're getting ready to work on your master's or your PhD?
Yeah, I hope.
What's your end goal? What do you want to contribute in the end of this country?
You know what? My dream is to go all over the world in universities and tell people the truth. The truth about Israel, which is what's going on here, because I think one of the reasons why the rest of the world doesn't care is because it's been misinformed, and a lot of people doesn't even know what's going on here. Nobody knows the truth. So my main goal is to go out and say and to deliver the truth to the people. And I see myself somewhere this way.
Nice. Well, and you know what, Simon? That's why we have Insight to Israel. Because for people like you, because you're a future leader of this country. Some people would say 36, you're past your prime, but whatever. That's for people who were shallow anyway. But I appreciate the fact that you continue to take a stand, even in academia. Because the majority of the United States universities are being funded by the Saudis, and they have left-wing professors, and those left-wing professors promote Muslim student unions, and those Muslim student unions turn around and promote the fact that the lie that this is an apartheid state. And so it's going to take a lot of fight in the academic world to counteract that.
And I know it won't be easy. I will have a hard time proving people that they are wrong. But this is my mission. This is what I have to do.
Well, and you know what? I think, Simon, eventually the talk's going to stop. It's time to throw blow to blow, brother. And that's what I'm waiting for, because I'm tired of the talk. I burned the negotiating table a long time ago. Listen, Simon, we're going to have you back on the show. We're going to get a tour of the school. And I want to say thank you for your time.
It was my pleasure.
Thank you for telling this truth. And look, this is Michael Gannot with Insight to Israel. Don't forget that we need your support at Insight to Israel. We're going to have you back on, Simon. This is exciting. We're going to be able to get, as things progress, we're going to be able to give more information about what you're doing.
I would be glad to do that. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for listening. And we will be right back. This is Michael Gannot with Insight to Israel. Every day, the Israeli Defense Force finds itself on the front line of the war with the militant arm of Islam. Surrounded by enemies from within and without, they fight for the only Jewish state. Military service is mandatory, ladies serving 2 years and men serving 3 right out of high school. While young people in other democracies are busy traveling or attending university, Israeli men and women gear up for basic training. In a world of heads of state, politicians, ambassadors, diplomats, and a leftist media, many times our voice at the grassroots level is drowned out. So we started an ongoing project called Hershey's for Heroes. Patriot conservatives from all over the U.S. are sending Hershey's chocolate bars with a note of thanks for defending Israel. Won't you join us by sending a sweet message to the IDF? For information, please see my Facebook page at Michael Ganeau. Thank you, God bless Patriot conservatives, and God bless Israel in her struggle for sovereignty and security.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
This is Michael Ganeau with Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes. This is segment two of this Sunday show. And we had Simon Sippis on the first segment of Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes. And Simon, it's good to be here with you again.
My pleasure.
And right now we are in Tel Aviv, down by the beautiful Mediterranean. On a day, it's very hot. It's probably about 90 degrees today.
Yeah, yeah.
So, actually, Simon, we're here at a demonstration. It's an anti-Nazi demonstration.
Yeah.
And there are 30,000 Jews that are still in the Ukraine. 1,000, actually, last month. I think it was last month that they came home, made Aliyah.
Yeah, they ran away from the war. And there is a very high level of anti-Semitism in Ukraine. We see almost on daily basis that there are swastikas being written on the synagogues all over Ukraine.
Wow.
And we call for the Ukrainian people, come back to their land, come to Israel.
Absolutely.
Because they're stuck in the middle of this, on this civil war. And we as Israelis, call them to come back home to us and to build their new home in the land of Israel, because this is their land. And we also stand against this pro-Nazi government, which has been slaughtering its people for the past 6 months, and those ethnic Russians which have been killed in cold blood on a daily basis by the Ukrainian government. But we again call for the Jews of Ukraine to come to Israel.
Now, let me ask you something, Simon. You're from the, as you stated previously in the first segment that we did the other night, you're from the Crimea.
Yeah.
And you came to Israel when?
I came to Israel in 1991.
How old were you?
I was 11 years old. I'm from Crimea, from Sevastopol. And also there are a lot of Jews there, and they are still there. But I think Putin, by doing this annexion of Crimea, actually saved a lot of lives, including Jews, which are living in Crimea. And the Jews which are living in southeast of Ukraine, we call them to immigrate to Israel and basically to save their lives.
Absolutely. Let me ask you, why did your parents make Aliyah? Why did they come home to Israel?
Because we're Jews and we feel that this is our land.
Did they ever feel persecuted when they were in? What was the atmosphere like? Can you remember, even though you were 11, but did your parents talk about the atmosphere at the time that they made Aliyah?
Well, let's don't forget that on that time it was the Soviet Union, and there was some level of anti-Semitism in the Soviet Union. I'm, as a child, I don't remember, I was persecuted because I'm a Jew, but my older brother, which served in the Soviet army, was prosecuted hard time, because Jews, Jews have been prosecuted, I think, for the whole history of
since Abraham.
Yeah, for the whole for the whole history of Soviet Union existence.
Right.
So,
and after the Soviet Union fell, they allowed an influx of Jews to actually leave Russia.
And
come back to Israel.
And more than 1 million Jews left Soviet Union and came to Israel. And On these days, a lot of Russians are fighting in IDF, fighting in Gaza and all over Israel and defending their country.
Wow, wow.
Very brave, bravely.
You know, that's what I have to say. You know, what I see, my personal experience has been, is that many of the Russians are very right-wing. They're very pro-Israel.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're some of the strongest fighters in the military.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a big guy yourself. I could see you knocking some heads of some Muslims together. You know what I mean? So you had stated there's a soldier here somewhere.
Yeah.
Is he still here?
I want you to interview him.
Yeah, let's talk to this guy. Is it the guy here in the blue shirt? No.
No, in the white shirt.
In the white shirt. Ah, this guy's a former soldier. What's your name, brother?
You should interview him.
Ravit?
Ravit. This
Michael,
is Michael.
You know.
Now, this is an ex-IDF soldier which fought in Gaza. And he's with us, stands with now our anti-Nazi movement. He's a Russian. He's also from Crimea. Are you recording?
Yeah. No, go ahead.
So you can ask him questions.
Now, brother, I know we just met, but my name's Michael Gano. I have a radio show that called Insight to Israel. We're actually being recorded now.
My English is not so good.
Your English is probably better than most Americans. First of all, I want to say thank you for your service to the country. I was with the soldiers down on the Gaza border, and I was where no other media was. In fact, if you have seen the video on the media in the news where the Hamas is coming up out of the ground.
Yeah.
Okay, I was with the soldiers that discovered that. You're being shot at. Mortar rounds, everything. It was, and I got it all on video. It was very intense. But so you've been down on the Gaza.
At 20.
Simon, translate for us just for a few minutes.
Скажи ему, что я служил на протяжении 2 лет, с 2002 до 2004.
He served the IDF for 2 years.
No, not in India. In
IDF is
in
Israel.
IDF is
Israel Defense Force.
Right, for 3 years he was in the army.
Yeah.
3 years in army, 2 years in Gaza Strip.
In the Gaza Strip, wow.
I have the only question.
Yeah.
Why is it called Russia Today? It is not Russia.
No.
It's called
Russia Today because we...
Do you speak Russian?
Yeah. Нам выслало новостное агентство, которое называется Россия сегодня.
Ah, got it.
So you spent 2 years down on the Gaza border.
Yes.
Wow. Amazing. So, now you were in the tanks?
Yes. I'm a driver.
You were a driver of the tank?
Yes.
Of I don't know why I can't think of the name. It's the heat from the sun. Your tank. Why can't I think of the name of your tank?
The Merkava tank.
Merkava. No, yes.
I served in the M60.
He was a tankist in IDF.
I served in the American M60.
You shot the M60?
The Israel version of this tank.
Nice.
Magach 6.
He was a shooter, a tank shooter of the American M60. Which we have on our tanks.
Right.
Now, что еще пошло?
What the question?
Okay, so you were down there during the operation.
Yes.
And what was your experience down there?
Once, у нас была колонна, которая сходила в Газу. Большая, несколько сотен бронированных машин, танки, бронетранспортеры.
During the war, we had a column, where many vehicles are going in.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you had a line of vehicles.
Line of vehicles, armored vehicles entering the Gaza.
Wow.
And я должен был быть в первом танке, который
And his tank supposed to be the first, which is entering the Gaza and crushes the gate.
С этими, с минным травом, как уже.
anti-mine equipment.
Yeah, they have a...
To clean up the road.
Equipment in front of the tank.
Yeah, exactly.
That keeps landmines if they explode.
Our crew was changed. They took my friend, the another crew, took our tank, and we... We took another tank. No, not the first one.
Right, you want the first tank.
And I saw my friend exploded.
Which was in the first tank?
Yes.
Wow.
About 100 kilo of TNT was under the road.
Ah, so they had TNT planted underneath the road.
Yeah, they blew up the first tank, which was entering the Gaza.
Wow.
And he's supposed to be inside this tank. But
my friend was...
And he saw his friend dying inside
this
tank.
No. They were wounded.
They were wounded.
Wow.
But my friend is now is invalid.
He's an invalid?
Invalid.
Wow. Amazing. So it was what they call an improvised explosive device, an IED.
The hole after the bombing
was so large that all the tank was in there.
In the hole. Wow.
Only
1 second.
Как пушка? Right. I saw only the equipment on the turret.
On the turret, yeah.
All the turret and all the tank
is down in the hall.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Anti-mine equipment blew up. We find it about 70 meters away. It's about 7 tons.
Wow, 7 tons of equipment 70 meters away.
Yes.
Now, I don't know how much 70 meter is, but I understand that's a good distance.
Yes.
For that much equipment to be blown into the air. Amazing. You're lucky your friends weren't killed. Thank God for the Merkava.
Yes, it was... I don't know. Only wounded. It's just... I don't know.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. Yeah.
It's a miracle. Wow. How old are you?
34.
You're 34. So you were in the reserves.
Yes. My battalion was...
Your battalion.
Battalion was...
Was displaced.
Ah, okay.
His battalion was displaced.
At April. Our tanks and 60 were...
And all his soldiers are now reserves.
Wow.
Как сказать, были выведены из строя?
Строя?
Выведены из службы. All our tanks are now not in service.
Right.
It's only Merkava.
Only the Merkava, right.
He had an old version of the Merkava.
Now version, we have, M60, American
now,
M60.
Now we have the new ones.
Wow, nice.
The blue American tank.
So what was it like for you? How did it affect your life when you got called up from the reserves? Like, what do you do right now for a living?
I was a technician for firing systems.
Okay.
Fire systems.
For fire systems?
Yeah.
So you install fire systems in buildings?
Yes.
Okay, nice. And how old were you? Now, you're from, where were you born and raised?
I born in Crimea, from Ukraine, and now it's Russia.
And that's how you guys got to know each other?
Yeah.
Okay. How old were you when you came here to Israel?
17.
What was that like for you when you first came? What was the life? I mean, you're a teenager.
It was very difficult. It's not such a life as I saw before I came here.
Right.
Another system, another different people.
Right. Because you got Jews from all over the world here.
Yeah.
They've come here. So... You know, you're going to have a difference in culture. You know, did you know Hebrew when you came?
No.
How did you learn?
I learned in 1 year.
You learned in 1 year? Wow.
I started in 1 year intensively in college.
And you went into the IDF when you came, right?
Not in 18. I began my service in IDF at 21.
At 21.
21.
Wow. Because usually they start at 18 and you started at 21.
Yeah,
so you're considered kind of like a little late, and that's okay. We're glad you served, brother. Thank you. Thank you for defending the country. Now, let me ask you, what was life like for you before you moved here from the Ukraine? You grew up, you were a teenager, you left all your friends.
Yeah. Before it was too difficult. It was after the former Soviet Union was
collapsed,
and there were no law and no rules.
And they just said go, and your family came.
Yeah.
Do you still have family in the Crimea now?
Yeah. My mother, my father.
Dad. Oh, your mother and father are still there. Wow. Do you think there's a chance they'll ever come home? They'll make Aliyah?
They were here.
They were here.
But they went back?
Yes.
Why did they go back, if I can ask?
Because of my grandfather. Very old.
I understand. So do you see yourself, your parents, a time that they'll come back to Israel?
Maybe, yeah.
Because things are tough right now in the Crimea and the Ukraine.
It's not so bad as you can see in the press.
Yeah. Do they ever talk about being persecuted because they're Jewish right now? No? Because, there's a lot of, all over Europe, there's a high level of persecution of Jews there.
I never was in Europe.
Except for after you moved here, you stayed.
Yeah.
You haven't been back to...
I was only in Thailand.
Until after you finished the army.
Yeah.
I tell you, Israelis travel more than any people in the world that I know. And I think that's a great thing.
Yeah. I must go...
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, brother. Wow. So, hey, thanks, man, for your talk. Well, there we have it, Simon. Let's go. I'm gonna go talk to the rabbi.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll do that.
Yeah, I'm gonna go over here and talk to this guy. Hey, Simon, thank you, brother. Wow, there's a crowd here. We're right in front of the beach. It's a beautiful day. It's very hot today, and we have pictures all lined up against this wall showing the persecution of the Jewish people in the Ukraine and Crimea. 30,000 Jews are currently living there, but many are coming back to Israel to escape the persecution because of the anti-Semitism that's taking place. You have the rise of the neo-Nazi movement as well as Islam that continues to persecute the Jewish people there, as you heard me say earlier, and as Simon said, and it's a huge problem. The question we have to ask ourselves is, how do we get all of these Jews back here? Now, a million Jews came from Russia after the fall of communism. So you would think, if you can move a million Jews here, 30,000 Ukrainians are nothing. But I want to have a quick talk with the rabbi here.
Oh.
How are you doing, sir?
Not ordained yet, but I'm...
Not ordained yet, okay.
I spent some time in theological
seminary. It's all about what's in your heart.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sir, thank you, first of all, for doing the video and for talking about the persecution of the Jews in Europe. We know predominantly overall they're being persecuted. The neo-Nazi movement is rising up,
yes,
as well as Islam.
Yes.
And, my question is, it's funny, I just mentioned that there's only 30,000 Jews in the Ukraine, and if a million Russians can move here, you would think we wouldn't have too much of a problem.
Well, first of all, if you think about all Ukraine, it's over 100,000.
Wow.
Probably close to 200,000. 30,000, this is the number given about the troubled war area, the area where the fights are taking place.
Okay.
Now, the state of Israel has to do, number one, is to bring them to Israel. Now, unfortunately, now it's not very easy because the war is going on there,
right.
But we have to make more efforts to reach them and to bring them here. Russian Jews, probably around a million are still there, and we have Jews in America and all over the place, like Europe. The truth is, that almost half, if maybe half today, of the Jewish population of the world is in Israel. I mean, it's a great achievement of the Zionist movement, no question about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
We have to go for another half now.
Right.
We shouldn't give up because, you know, we saw with our eyes, in our generation, I myself coming from Moscow, and, you know, the words of the prophet Jeremiah that the days are coming when you will not say the bless the Lord who brought up children of Israel from Egypt, but you will say, you know, praise the Lord who brought the children of Israel from the northern country,
yeah.
And all other places. Now, the northern country is where I'm coming from Moscow, from Russia. And this was the greatest sign, no, the fall of communism. And the gates were opened. And even sometimes people who saw the miracle, usually they don't understand it was a miracle. But this was a miracle when you see that the words of the prophet, Jeremiah, and he speaks about it twice in his book, that twice he mentions the northern country. And we have to understand that the northern country, the USSR, they closed the gates. They put people in jail because they didn't want to let them out.
Right.
Now, all this, we can testify about through just our own experience. And, you know, this makes our time so special. And also, nobody can understand the essence of our time without Bible.
Right.
If you don't open Bible, you understand nothing.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Would you like to talk to Jews from Argentina?
I would love that.
Here are they.
Let me finish up
real
quick. Give
them your card.
Okay. Let me ask you something, sir.
Yeah.
I personally don't believe in a diaspora. Now, a diaspora of Jews that live in other countries.
Absolutely.
Because we see historically from Egypt, from the time that God brought the Jews out of Egypt, and there were Jews that stayed behind and they died. There were Jews that stayed behind in pre-World War II that were warned, you need to come home.
All the prophets speak about it. I will say to the north, give up my people.
What, let me ask you.
Give up my people.
If you could,
that's what we have to do. The whole Bible is about Adam being exiled from paradise, and the purpose is not to stay outside,
right,
but through the messianic spirit to come back.
Wow.
And the nation of Israel is in essence an example of this historic trend, which was dispersed and then has to come back. When you say that Israel is the chosen nation, it's not just because the Bible, Israel chosen nation, because the history of Israel teaches you the essence of Bible. This is what's important.
Absolutely.
This is a kind of a special history of Bible which we can see today in Israel. That's what makes it so special. You go to Rome, you go to Athens, you see ancient
monuments,
sites, but it's all dead.
Right, right.
And here you can see it's all flourishing, living, and it's becoming more and more. And actually, we all have to pray for messianic coming here in Israel. That's the place. And we need all the Jews to come here to greet the Messiah.
Wow. Let me ask you one quick question. I personally believe that if you're a rabbi in the United States, unless you're the next Moses bringing your people home, you're in direct disobedience to God. What would you say to that, and what would you say to the American Jews who linger in the United States?
American Jews can play an important role by just taking one way ticket to Israel.
Wow, that's great.
While, you know, there was a song of Beatles, I believe, One Way Ticket.
Yeah.
This is the song for American Jews. If you talk about the rabbis, any rabbi in America should serve God by gathering his community and bringing it all to Israel, as few people did, but not too many, not too many. Unfortunately, many of them are rabbis, but by their very presence in America today, they're in a sense worshiping gold calf instead of worshiping God. They should give up everything and to come here. This is the place where God wanted them to be.
Wow. That, sir, listen, I say it, and I'm not Jewish. You say it, and you are. And I appreciate your obedience to God coming home from Russia, coming back from Russia, because that was your place of residence, but this is your
home. Yeah, I made Aliyah myself, yeah.
Wow, that's 35 very
35 years ago, yes.
That is very powerful. So, also, you'd mentioned, you know, I try to bring this viewpoint and drive it home to Israelis, because we can't, Israelis, most Israelis can't see the love of the people in the United States because of our government and our media.
And big business. And that's, you see what happened in America, that not the people today form foreign policies in America, but multinational corporations, big business organizations, oil financing, and people like Soros.
George Soros is
with an enemy of Israel today. He said that he is going to boycott Israel.
Возьми Сеймана, подготовь его по Коломойскому, пусть его проинтервьюет.
We have a slight interruption.
Скажи ему пару слов в Сирии, ладно?
Wow, he's making some very valid points.
Yeah.
And I appreciate.
So that's we'll be in touch.
Yeah. Hey, sir, thank you.
I have your card in
for everything. Yeah, we're going to have you back on the show. I want to get a picture with you before I take off.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you very
much. Wow, some very, very powerful words. And you just can't get around them. You cannot get around them. So there you have it. It's time for the American Jews to come home. Pack up, sell while you can, and get out. Because she's going to crumble. And the folks that think that it's not possible are fooling themselves. Let's, let's see. Let's get some final words from Simon here. He's done a great job being on the show.
Проводим такие демонстрации, чтобы сказать, что это позиция Коломойского не совпадает. Есть позиция Израиля, есть позиция Израиля.
Simon, you have a minute?
Yeah.
Okay, we're just about finished up with this segment. Do me a favor. How do you say I call him Rabbi, he's been to seminary. How do you say his full name?
Avigdor.
Avigdor?
Avigdor.
Avigdor.
Eskin.
Eskin, okay. Great. He said some amazing things. I appreciate his stance.
He is terrific.
For the Jewish state, wow.
Fascinating man.
Very powerful. How did you guys get to know each other?
We get to know each other during our actions within this anti-Nazi movement. And he also supports our stand, but he is protecting and supports Israel on the Russian side.
Right.
You support Israel in the American side, and he doing basically the same thing in Russia. He was talking a lot about our last operation that we had in Gaza, and he's been interviewed many times in Russia, and he's been explaining why we as Israelis are defending ourselves by entering Gaza, and he's a real fighter for the Jewish people.
Yeah, he's got some strong, powerful words.
Yeah.
And we even have some Russian media here right now, I think.
Yeah, we had.
Can you tell us what stations they are? Do you know?
Most of them I don't know. Different stations. I don't exactly know.
It's great that you have the media down here talking about this.
Yeah.
And this is going to be seen not only in Israel, but on Russian TV.
Russia also, of course.
Nice, nice. Listen, Simon, I want to say thank you.
Thank
for all
you,
that
Michael.
You do.
Thank you for coming.
And we're going to have you.
I hope it was a fascinating experience for you.
It has been. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say thank you to everyone that listens to the radio show and supports Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes. And would you please consider, I've been here for 2 years now, showing the truth about the Jewish state that the leftist media and Islam doesn't show. And I want to ask that you would consider a tax-deductible donation to Insight to Israel. You can email me at mgano@ insighttoisrael.com. mgano@insighttoisrael.com. God bless the United States of America and the patriot conservatives that stand for the Judeo-Christian founded Constitution and Bill of Rights, and God bless Israel in her fight for sovereignty. and security.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com any